Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
He's Les Levine. I'm Andy Baskin. Jeff Phelps has the day off today. You'll be able to hear him Sunday during the Browns broadcast at halftime and in the postgame. It is Baskin and Phelps then with Les Levine, 216-578-0092. You heard what Greg Williams said about DVOA. One of the guys that knows all about it is Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders, and let's bring him in on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hey, Aaron, how are you?
It's always fun when an NFL coach quotes your stat.
Isn't that cool? All right, so
how many did you make up that didn't make the list?
There have been a lot of metrics in the 15 years of Football Outsiders. This is our best-known one, certainly.
All right, Aaron, it's your stat. Now, they had him explain it at the press conference. Just listen in for a second.
It's probably the most accurate analytic statistic for offense, defense, and special teams because it takes in everything. Time on the clock, plays per yard, first down situations, second down situations, third down, red zone, two-minute takeaways. And it all blends into one. Defensively, we've played the second toughest schedule to date right now on the offenses we played and how well we've ranked up in there, and we've got to continue to fight and struggle and do what we can do.
Aaron, did he get it right? Do you want to use that as a testimonial on your website?
That's a pretty good testimonial, actually. It's a pretty good description of what the stat does, and he's absolutely correct that Cleveland has played a very difficult schedule of opposing offenses this year. The whole AFC North has.
Give us an example of what you put in the equation.
Well, it's not an equation like, X plus Y equals what the result is. What it does is every single play gets a success rating that's based on how many yards you gain compared to the down and distance. And then that success rating gets compared to all similar plays based on situation and then adjusted for opponent. So basically, it's doing this for comparing every play to a baseline and then adding them all together.
All right, Aaron, let me just put this in like layman's terms here. When he uses a stat like that, does that also pass your eye test when you watch the Browns defense?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I have got to admit, I have not watched a lot of Browns football this year, right? I'm not going to tell you that that's a team that I'm watching every week.
But you'll get a chance to tomorrow night.
But there's strong defensive players on that team, absolutely. That team has been stronger on defense than offense until the last 5 weeks. The last 5 weeks, 5-6 weeks, they've been much stronger on offense. They had like a really bad defensive game against Kansas City, even if you adjust for the fact that it's Kansas City and their offense is great. But other than that game, they've basically been pretty strong on offense the whole year, pretty strong on defense the whole year, except for that game and the one against the Raiders where they gave up 45.
Right, so every coach has the ability to access that, right?
Well, I mean, all the sites, all the DVOA numbers are on our site. He's not quoting anything that's not available for free on our website.
Right. So what will it cause him to do or not do?
Well, I think the best use of the stat is to not over correct for something that's not a real thing, right? Like if you know that you've played the second toughest schedule of opposing offenses, that you go into the offseason knowing how good your defense and offense really were rather than assuming that maybe your defense was not as good. So maybe you have a better idea of how good your units were, so you have a better idea of where you need to build for next season and what was perhaps a fluke.
All right, speaking of that, when you look at the offensive line for the Browns, Greg Robinson, is it real or is it a fluke from your perspective?
Well, the tough thing there is comparing it to his past performance, right?
Right.
I mean, his past performance is really bad. So how much
that with the Dr. Evil laugh, by the way?
I mean, he was famous for being bad. He was the number two pick, and he was a bust. So how much do you want to give weight to what he's done in the past versus what you want to give weight to what he's done for the last, 4 or 5 weeks?
So how do you decide that?
That's the struggle. Well, I mean, I think at a certain point it comes down, to tape more than stats. Does he look like he's doing something different? If you watch his tape with the Rams and then you watch his tape this year with the Browns, is he doing something different? There are places that stats can't go where you do need film, and I do think that that's one of them.
Let's talk about Baker Mayfield's rookie season. Is this, from your world and your perspective, can you actually just put some perspective on it? Not just your perspective, but give us what the numbers that he's throwing out there right now, how do they compare, how do they look, and how do they trend forward?
Well, first of all, I mean, since the replacement, the change in the offensive coordinator, he's something like the fourth best quarterback in the league by our numbers. I mean, it's been a really nice little run here. And, you know, every game you start adding on to it, it becomes less of a fluke and more serious. He's right now, I mean, for the whole year, we have him ranked 17th out of 32 quarterbacks. And for a rookie, that is pretty good. We all got a little bit spoiled by what happened in 2012 when Griffin, Wilson, and Luck all had great rookie seasons. But the fact is, rookies don't normally perform that well. He's been so much better than the other rookie quarterbacks this year. He's far ahead of the others. And so that's got to be really positive going forward. And then when you look at what he's done in the last few weeks versus the first few weeks, I think that's another positive sign going forward.
We really weren't sure which of the first-year quarterbacks they were going to take. Who's second and third behind him?
Right now we have Darnold second, and Jackson is about there with Darnold, obviously in limited playing time. And then we have Allen and Rosen way behind them. Although, I mean, listen, with all of these quarterbacks, you have to consider the teammates and the structure around them. Poor Josh Rosen, they've had to replace all five members of the offensive line in Arizona. So that really bad rating can't be all his fault.
Let's talk about Chubb for a second. Nick Chubb here with the Browns. Yards after contact. And, you know, you talk about a guy that's been, you know, like ignited because of the coaching change. Man, he has just had a great year, and it has been a lot of fun to watch him.
Yeah, I mean, I worry a little bit about whether some of those, like yards after contact, a lot of rushing averages get, you know, biased by one or two plays. I mean, right now, for example, after last week, Derrick Henry, I think, is now the leader in yards after contact, but it's because he ran 99 yards. I mean, that's one play. So we look a lot at sort of consistency for running backs with a stat called success rate that looks at how often they get a certain number of yards compared to the down and distance. In that stat, we have Chubb much closer to average, and he's also played a fairly easy schedule of opponents this year, right? That's sort of the flip of the defense having a hard schedule, is that the offense, particularly when it comes to running the ball, has had a fairly easy schedule. But, I mean, I don't mean to say any of this to denigrate Nick Chubb. It's not like I'm saying he's been a bad running back. I just think that the numbers may make him look a little bit better than he's actually been.
Yeah, that's interesting, because the eye test of us layman people shows he's pretty darn good.
Well, the eye test, remember, in the eye test, he's playing those bad defenses. Yes, Your eyes are also seeing poor run defense.
Great point.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Denver this weekend. And, you know, the Browns will have a chance to still stay alive. Even you want to talk about numbers, 0.2% chance of making the playoffs. But we're talking about the Browns, and there's still a chance there. So what does Denver do well? And let's start there.
Well, Denver is really surprisingly good. I mean, one of the sort of the basic thoughts about the way we do stats at Football Outsiders is to drill down to the play-by-play performance rather than the wins and losses. When you do that, you understand that a close loss and a close win are very similar, right? Like, we can look at the decisions that teams make that get them close wins instead of close losses, but when it comes to predicting the future, close wins and close losses are very similar, and Denver has a number of close losses to really good teams this year, so they're much better than the 6-7 record. Now, that being said, they weren't last week, and they have a lot of injuries right now, and they've lost Emmanuel Sanders, and he was the main receiver, and that's a problem. But their defense has been really good, even without Chris Harris, who's their top cornerback, who's out now. Their defense has been really good. We have their defense fourth in our numbers. The offense is mostly powered by the running game. Their passing game is below average, but their running game is one of the two or three best in the league.
Who wins the game?
Well, here's the thing, right, is that Cleveland's defense has been much, much better against the pass than the run. So I think that there's a worry that Denver is just going to take Philip Lindsay and run all over them. But, I mean, it's a pretty close matchup, I think. Obviously, Denver is the home team, so I would favor them. But with the way the Cleveland offense has been playing over the last few weeks and the injuries that the Denver has, I think that Cleveland has a better chance than the season totals would otherwise suggest.
All right, last question for you, Aaron. Is there any formula or any stat that can tell you who the Browns' next head coach is going to be? And by the way, when you look at interim head coaches that have a couple games under their belt that turn winning records seem to be rehired lately.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think everybody felt this is not something obviously that stats can show you.
Right.
I will say Brian Burke from ESPN has developed a really interesting model that helps suggest which coaches are going to get fired, but it doesn't suggest who's going to be hired to replace them. And I think we were all looking at the idea that what Cleveland was going to want to do is to sign an offensive mind who would develop Mayfield and structure things for him. But if they feel like they have something with Greg Williams, and I can't believe I'm saying that given what we thought about things 5 or 6 weeks ago, and they think they have something with Kitchens, and Kitchens can be that offensive mind without being the head coach, I don't know. Maybe they keep things in place. But I think we were all looking at the idea that they wanted a hot young offensive mind, and everybody likes the idea of Lincoln Riley going into the NFL. And I'm sure if Lincoln Riley's ever thought of going into the NFL, the idea of doing it with one of his students would be the most attractive thing for him. And that's a job, look, it's a job that's attractive to people because there's so much young talent there. Especially if you're an offensive mind, you're getting a defense that already has Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and a lot of good players on it, so you can really concentrate on building offense.
Outstanding. Aaron, thank you so much. I hope more head coaches talk about the things that you've developed in the future. That's my holiday wish for you.
It's a kick, man. Listen, I'll tell you, it never gets old. The idea that people in the NFL read my stuff never gets old, and I've been doing this for 15 years, and it's still exciting.
Very cool. Aaron, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Hey, Football thanks for Outsiders. Having me on, guys.
Thanks. Football Outsiders is the place to go to see all of Aaron's work, and we want to thank him for being on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.